All right, buckle up for a deep dive into some pretty fascinating legal territory.
Yeah.
Today we're tackling a Supreme Court case from 1984, Welsh v. Wisconsin.
Welsh v. Wisconsin.
It revolves around a guy arrested in his own home for drunk driving, but...
Oh, wow.
Trust me, this case goes way beyond a simple DUI. It really grapples with some big questions, like police power, individual rights, and the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah.
You know, one about... unreasonable searches and seizures.
The Fourth Amendment, yeah, that's a big one. What's particularly interesting about Welsh v. Wisconsin is it makes us think about where the line is or should be between protecting public safety and upholding individual liberties. And to get into all of that, we'll be checking out excerpts from the majority opinion, the dissenting opinion, and even a concurring opinion.
It's like getting a behind-the-scenes look at how the Supreme Court justices hash things out.
Exactly.
To really understand the heart of this case, why don't we start with the facts, the story of what happened?
Okay, so picture this. A rainy evening in Wisconsin, April 24th, 1978.
Okay.
Our main character, Edward Welsh, is driving erratically, ending up in a field. Luckily, no one was hurt, but a witness named Randy Jablonek saw it all happen and blocked Welsh's car with his truck to stop him from taking off.
Oh, wow.
Jablonek even offered Welsh a ride home.
Nice.
But Welsh said no and walked away.
So the police show up, and they've got this potentially drunk driver to find.
Right.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you'd think so, but here's where things get interesting.
Okay.
The police get Welsh's address from his car registration and go straight to his house without a warrant.
Seriously?
Yeah, they find him in bed, naked, and arrest him for DUI.
Hold on, they just went into his house without a warrant. That seems kind of problematic.
Yeah, that's a big deal, and exactly what kicked off this whole legal battle.
Sure.
And to make it even more complicated, in Wisconsin, back then, a first-time DUI was a civil violation, not a criminal one.
So not as serious in the eyes of the law.
Exactly. Okay. And after he's arrested, Welsh refuses to take a breathalyzer.
Oh, boy.
This sets off a chain of legal stuff in Wisconsin courts, with different courts going back and forth on whether the arrest was legal and if his refusal was okay. And all these conflicting decisions lead to the case ends up at the Supreme Court.
All right, so the stage is set. We've got a potentially drunk driver, a warrantless entry into a home, and a legal fight that goes all the way to the top.
Right, to the highest court in the land.
What did the Supreme Court have to say about all of this?
So the majority opinion written by Justice Brennan really focused on the sanctity of a person's home and the strong presumption against warrantless entries by law enforcement.
Makes sense. Our homes are supposed to be private.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The court said that warrantless entries are presumptively unreasonable.
Right.
The government has to prove exigent circumstances.
Oh, like some really urgent situation.
Yeah, to justify going into a home without a warrant.
So the question is, did the chance of Welsh's blood alcohol content going down over time count as one of those urgent situations?
That's the big question.
Yeah.
Was that enough to bypass the warrant?
Yeah.
The majority of the court said no.
Really?
And their reasoning gets to the core of this case.
Okay.
They argued that while dissipating blood alcohol content could be an urgent situation sometimes, it wasn't enough to justify skipping the warrant in this case.
Why not?
It all comes down to the gravity of the offense, as they put it.
Hmm, interesting.
Remember, in Wisconsin at the time, a first-time DUI wasn't a serious crime.
Right.
So the court basically said that the state's interest in gathering evidence for a relatively minor offense couldn't trump an individual's Fourth Amendment right to privacy in their own home.
So the severity of the crime itself became a key factor in their decision.
Absolutely. And Justice Brennan, he wrote this, it's a key quote. When the government's interest is only to arrest for a minor offense, that presumption of unreasonableness is difficult to rebut, and the government usually should be allowed to make such arrests only with a warrant.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So they sided with Welsh.
They did. The majority overturned the Wisconsin court's decision, said the warrantless entry was unlawful, and so his refusal to take the breathalyzer was justified.
Wow.
They sent it back to the Wisconsin courts to be reevaluated.
That's a big win for individual rights.
It is.
But I'm guessing there's more to this story.
Oh, there is. The dissenting and concurring opinions offer some compelling counterarguments to what the majority decided.
Okay.
And we'll get into those next.
I'm definitely ready to hear those. This case is already proving to be a real legal puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
But for now, let's give our listener a moment to take all this in.
Definitely a lot to process.
Okay. I'm ready to hear what the other justices thought about Welsh v. Wisconsin. Let's start with that dissent. It sounds like Justice White had some pretty different ideas about this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, he did. Justice White wasn't too keen on limiting those common law arrest powers for offenses that weren't felonies. He thought the gravity of an offense shouldn't always be the deciding factor when there were other concerns.
Other concerns? Like what kind of concerns?
Well, think about the potential for evidence disappearing, like in this case.
Okay, yeah.
Justice White felt that Wisconsin's strong interest in tackling drunk driving was enough to justify the warrantless entry into Walsh's house.
So he was basically saying public safety sometimes trumps a strict interpretation of the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. He argued that the need to get a blood alcohol reading before it was gone outweighed the intrusion into Welsh's home. He felt that allowing the evidence to vanish would make it harder for law enforcement to deal with drunk driving.
But Wisconsin considered this a pretty minor offense at the time, right? How did he square that with his perspective?
He argued that even if a state calls a crime minor, urgent things like preserving evidence should still be a priority. He was drawing a distinction between how severely an offense is punished and the state's interest in preventing that offense in the first place.
That's an interesting point. Makes you think about how we label crimes and whether that should always dictate how the police gather evidence.
Exactly. Justice White even pointed out that Wisconsin allowed warrantless arrests for traffic violations that happened when a cop wasn't even there to see it.
Oh, right.
He said that showed how seriously they were about stopping drunk driving, regardless of the specific punishment for a first offense.
Okay, so we have the majority opinion focused on protecting someone's home and requiring a warrant, while the dissenting opinion says public safety and preserving evidence are more important, even for minor offenses. Two pretty different ways of looking at this.
Definitely. And hold on, we're not done yet. There's also that concurring opinion. It throws another wrench into this whole case.
Oh, right. Justice Blackmun's concurrence. That means he agreed with the decision, but maybe not all the reasoning behind it.
You got it. Justice Blackmun agreed that the arrest was illegal, but he also didn't like that Wisconsin treated DUI as just a civil violation, especially given how dangerous drunk driving is. It's like he was saying, the police were wrong to do this, but Wisconsin needs to crack down on drunk driving harder.
Wow. So he's upholding the law but disagreeing with it at the same time? That's a tricky spot to be in.
For sure. It shows just how complex the legal system is. Judges have to follow the law as it's written, even if they personally have problems with it.
This whole deep dive is showing us so many sides to how the law can be interpreted. It's really fascinating to see how one case can spark so many different opinions. Okay, let's get back to Welsh v. Wisconsin and that concurring opinion from Justice Blackmun. It's interesting because he agreed the arrest was wrong.
Yeah.
But seemed to have a problem with how Wisconsin was handling DUI cases in general.
You got it. Justice Blackmun agreed with the majority that the arrest was illegal, but he wasn't happy about Wisconsin treating first-time DUI as a civil violation. Not a crime, especially with how dangerous drunk driving is.
Yeah, that's a big deal. It's like he's saying the cops messed up in this case, but Wisconsin also needs to treat drunk driving more seriously.
Right, like they're not doing enough. It's really interesting because it highlights how judges sometimes have to uphold laws that they might personally disagree with. Blackmun had to follow Wisconsin's law as it was written back then.
Right.
But he used his concurrence to say, hey, I think there's a problem here.
I see, yeah. So it's not always black and white. Even on the Supreme Court.
Absolutely not. And Blackmun's opinion adds another layer to this whole debate about individual rights versus public safety. It makes you think about how we as a society decide how bad different offenses are.
Yeah.
And what those labels mean for the police, for trials, and ultimately for people's freedom.
It's a lot to think about. We've covered so much ground with this case, from what happened that night to the different decisions in lower courts, all the way to the Supreme Court's ruling and those different opinions from the justices. It's been quite a journey.
It has.
But before we wrap up, I want to bring it back to our listener. What are the key things to take away from Welsh v. Wisconsin? What does it all mean, even all these years later?
I think this case is a powerful reminder about how important the Fourth Amendment is.
Right.
It's about protecting us from unreasonable searches and seizures. It shows how important our homes are as private spaces and how hard it should be for law enforcement to get in without a warrant. And remember, even what might seem like a minor offense can turn into a big legal fight with serious consequences for someone's rights.
We also saw that even on the Supreme Court, there can be disagreement about what the law means.
Oh, absolutely.
The fact that we had those dissenting and concurring opinions shows that it's not always so simple to interpret the law.
Definitely. And those different opinions represent these bigger debates that are still going on about balancing individual rights with keeping everyone safe.
It's a tough balance to strike. So listener, as you're going about your day, think about the questions that Welsh v. Wisconsin brings up. Where do you think that line should be between protecting public safety and making sure individual rights are respected?
It's a conversation worth having, and one that's still shaping our legal system today.
Well said. This deep dive into Welsh v. Wisconsin has been eye-opening. It reminds us that the law isn't just something abstract. It's something real that affects us all in big ways. Until next time, keep thinking and stay curious.